6 minutes after the hour of 12 noon Central Time, Wednesday, May 25th, 2022. Dave Krieger with you on the Power Hour. Welcome to this segment, Education Time, of course. We have a program that originally aired 60 Minutes, aired November 23rd, 1980, and it was called Doc Willard's Wonder Water. Now, can you say that about 20 times fast without stumbling? I doubt it, but that's a challenge. It's not a double dare, just a challenge. The beauty about Willard Water Products is we have them on sale all now at the Power Mall. Willard Water Clear, Willard Water Dark, Willard Water Topical Aloe Gel. And we're going to talk about all those things, both from a scientific and an economic perspective as we try to stay healthy. We have John Willard III with us on the phone. Welcome back to the show, sir.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
Well, so the benefits of Willard Water, we already know it's perfect to use for your indoor plants in your garden. Tell us first off about how it's made without, of course, divulging trade secrets, but how it's made, what's different about that versus regular water?
Sure. It's actually a proprietary formulation, and the Willard Water itself is actually a water additive. It's designed to be added to water, and when it's added to water, what it does is it slightly alters the structure of the water itself. So the Willard Water is, once again, it's a completely non-toxic, all-natural proprietary solution. And then you add it to water, and what that does is it makes the water a more efficient delivery system in the body, and actually for all living beings, as you referenced earlier there as well. And what we see with it is that it stimulates the body's ability, or any like I said, organism's ability to absorb, retain, and utilize nutrients in the cells. And so the practical effect for human beings, for example, is if you're taking something like a vitamin supplement, you could cut that vitamin supplement in half and get more out of it. You don't have to cut it in half, but you could save yourself some money that way by using Willard Water. But what it does then is it causes the body to better utilize those things. We also see things like better free radical scavenging activities. And once again, that goes back to it. Free radical scavenging is the same thing as antioxidants, but we cannot call Willard Water a free radical. An antioxidant, we can only call it a free radical scavenger because our friends at the FDA say that we can't use the term antioxidant. So
yeah, shame on those people.
Yes, yes, we're destroying the world by calling it an antioxidant instead of a free radical scavenger, but it's the same thing. So we say it helps the free radical scavenging. So if you were to add Willard Water to, for example, to like your green tea, it would stimulate those antioxidants in the green tea and also stimulate the free radical scavenging in the cells. And so you see, once again, an overall healthier cell when you're using Willard Water. And so I always tell people, when you start drinking Willard Water, you're not suddenly going to feel like Superman or Wonder Woman. You are going to see things. It's just sort of like taking a supplement when you're taking vitamin supplements, for example. You're not suddenly going to become super powerful. You may feel a slight boost of energy. You may feel a little bit more pep in your step, but that's simply because the Willard Water is helping your body to better utilize those nutrients.
Now, you've obviously done some sort of a test with animals, and you gave the animal Willard Water versus just plain water. Which one do they like?
The regular or the Willard Water, and we've been in business 49 years, and this thing has been researched by universities all over the world, as far as the Netherlands to Zambia and then Africa to Honduras and South America or Central America, excuse me. The University of British Columbia, the University of Washington, of course, South Dakota State University, where we're based. And it's been tested on all kinds of different living beings, whether it's humans or plants or animals. And as you said, you mentioned that there have been some animal studies with pets. We do have a pet product line. The pet product line has been endorsed by the Whole Dog Journal, the Encyclopedia of Natural Pet Care. There are several books written about it where they have an entire section on Willard Water for pets. And yeah, they actually typically prefer the Willard water water additive. And once again, it doesn't do anything differently with animals or with plants that you're seeing with human beings. That it's stimulating nutrient absorption, but you see a healthier dog, a healthier cat. You see a healthier pet in general because they're getting more out of their nutrients. And so, and we also have a spray that goes along with that where we think we see things like, you know, during the summer, a lot of pets get hot spots or a lot of dogs get hot spots. And we have a lot of people who use the spray to help alleviate some of the effects of those hot spots on pets. And once again, the FDA strictly limits the way I can describe that. I can't say that it heals those. But it certainly makes things a little bit better. How's that?
Well, that's good. I'm curious also as to why all these different universities tested your stuff. What were they trying to prove? Just the effectiveness of it, or were they trying to disprove something?
Well, a lot of it was actually sponsored by us or by other organizations, and they were proving the effectiveness of it. So, for example, well, British Columbia was actually sponsored by the Canadian government in the 80s, where they specifically tested on chickens. The University of Washington was something where my grandfather had worked on the atomic bomb in the 1940s, the development of the atomic bomb, and he had a lot of former colleagues. Who he was at the University of Washington for a time. If you don't know anything about how the atomic bomb creation process took place, there were five different specific areas where different parts of the bomb were sort of assembled and researched. There was Oak Ridge, Tennessee, the University of Chicago, the University of Washington, and then there was, of course, New Mexico, which most people know about. My grandfather was at all of those locations at one point in time or another, and so he was at the University of Washington for a while and became friends with some of the chemists who worked there, and then after he invented this product, he asked some of these chemists to do some trials on it, and that's how we know about Willard Water's free radical scavenging. They did extensive research on the free radical scavenging properties of Willard Water.
Well, see, now this is something that a lot of our listeners probably didn't know, and this is one of the reasons why. This is not an infomercial. We don't do stuff like that here on this show, folks, at least not since I've been here. What we're trying to do is educate people and make them understand, okay, this is why we carry a certain product. Joyce Riley and our producers at the Power Hour, Power Hour J, everybody at the great staff that will take care of you at the Power Mall, has been doing a lot of research and making connections on products like Willard Water because it does things to help improve your health. And that's one of the things that, you know, when you say something like this, John, that it improves a certain situation, but you have to try it. It doesn't work if you don't try it. So I want to talk about the Willard Water Clear versus Water Dark. What's the difference between the two?
Really, it's a very simple difference. The Willard Water Clear is just the main Willard Water catalyst. We'll be getting into the weeds a little bit about this, but the catalyst is what makes Willard Water do what it does. It's what alters the structure of the water and causes the beneficial health impacts. But my grandfather was also a really strong believer in trace minerals or micronutrients. And so the Willard Water Dark has the catalyst in it, but also has more trace minerals in it as well. So we always tell people, if you're somebody who's, for example, taking like a trace minerals research product, you can replace that product with the Willard Water Dark. And the Willard Water Dark will have those trace minerals in it, but then will also stimulate your body's ability to utilize them. If you're happy with your trace minerals research regimen or whatever trace mineral regimen you're already taking, if you could just take the Willard Water Clear, that'll boost them anyway, as it will with other supplements that you're taking. So it really comes down to personal preference. I personally drink the dark because I don't use any other trace mineral supplement.
Okay, now mixing this, obviously, the 16-ounce bottle goes a long way. Do you want to explain the formula rationale here?
Yeah, it's a concentrate once again. And so my grandfather always said, we don't sell, my grandfather originally called it catalyst-activated water, and he would always say, we don't sell catalyst-activated water, we sell what makes the water catalyst-activated water, and that's Willard Water as well. So you're adding a little bit of it to water, but you can also add it to a lot of other things. You can add it to juice. You can add it to tea. You can even add it to coffee if you're a coffee drinker. And it's very small amounts. You're talking about a quarter of a teaspoon for an 8-ounce glass, or all the way up to an ounce a gallon. And you could, so what I do is I have a gallon that I just throw an ounce in and I keep it in my refrigerator.
Wow. All right. So there's the ration, as far as, you know, people out there mixing this stuff up. You know, this is not something that you just buy a 16-ounce bottle of Willard water from the Power Mall and then just drink the stuff straight out of the bottle. Doesn't work like that. So now you use this on indoor plants and in your garden as well. You put them in a add this to make up a gallon of this stuff. You said 1 ounce makes a gallon, and you put this. You could put this actually this gallon in a spray bottle and spray the plants. How does that help the process as far as their growth, especially with the greenhouse?
Yeah, it's exactly the same thing. The same concept as the Willard water. It's boosting the plant's ability to better utilize and absorb nutrients. We actually have, over the last 5 years, have developed a lot more research in plants than we probably have even on humans and whatnot over the last 5 years, because we've really focused on it. And it's pretty fascinating what we're seeing. I mean, we're seeing that we can reduce the amount of, for example, if somebody's using synthetic fertilizer, we can reduce that fertilizer by 25-35% and maintain the same yield. And that's pretty significant here. In fact, we are in the middle of a study here in the U.S., again, with South Dakota State University, where they're testing that a little bit more. We're also seeing things like when it's added to the soil that it's boosting a lot of the micronutrient levels of that soil, and it's boosting things like fungi and bacteria, and it's having that catalytic effect on the soil as well. So we're seeing an overall healthier soil as well. And so we've my grandfather was very interested in using the Willard water as a way to help humanity, and he was very interested in specifically sub-Saharan Africa. So when I took over as CEO about 10 years ago, it was part of my mission to take Willard water, the plant product, over to sub-Saharan Africa. And so today we're in about 7 countries in sub-Saharan Africa primarily, and that's where we spend actually most of our agricultural outreach is in those regions. But yeah, we've got a lot of studies that show we're reducing the effects of fertilizer, the amount of fertilizer necessary. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool.
Well, that is, especially given the fact we have a fertilizer shortage. Now, the thing is that we've been advocating using chicken poop, you know, having chickens. 6 hens makes 1,500 eggs. And, of course, that's a lot of protein. But also, if you're talking about giving Willard water to your flock, they got to be healthier as well. That would be less chance of them coming down with some sort of bird flu, wouldn't it?
Yes, absolutely. It'll make the chickens a lot healthier. We know that as well. That goes back to the University of British Columbia. He was a Dr. Daryl Bragg, and he was a poultry science professor, and he studied it, boy, for almost 10 years. And, yeah, we saw much lower incidence of, and it goes back to, and I always say this, it's not rocket science. You don't have to really understand too much about the science behind it. If you have a healthier plant, it's going to be more resistant to stress, and it's going to be to need less boost. If you have a healthier chicken, they're going to be more resistant to things like disease, and they're going to be able to fight that off themselves, and so on and so forth, just like other human beings. It's not rocket science. Once you have that, when that plant or that chicken or that human or whatever is utilizing nutrients more effectively, then you don't have to boost. You don't have to add more nutrients to it. You don't have to boost more nutrients into it, because the plant is using them, or the human is using them, or the chicken is using those nutrients more effectively. So in the practical effect, what's kind of interesting is 5 or 6 years ago, when we got started in the agriculture industry in sub-Saharan Africa, it was almost Willard water or Dr. Willard's products were saving people a little bit of money, and we were boosting yield on the back end as well, because, of course, these people in Africa, they don't get really huge yields. But it was sort of marginal, and so the difference was a little bit marginal. We had a lot of smallholder farmers who were very interested in it, but not so many corporate farms. Today, that difference is not even marginal anymore, because of the rising cost of fertilizer and the limited availability of it. You know, I've made kind of a crude joke, but I've started saying I'm going to have to add Vladimir Putin on my Christmas card list because the cost of food is becoming so incredibly high that we've gone from sort of being once again marginal to everybody saying we want to use this product.
Well, and the thing is, and I'm specifically looking at Willard Water for taking, and you know how you're sprouting things, and you get seed starting kits, and you're putting the seeds in there, and it says to just basically wet them. You would use Willard Water to wet them to get them to start. That would be a good thing,
yes.
Right?
Yes, absolutely. We see better germination rates. We see better growth out of germination. In fact, the University of Massachusetts just recently completed a germination study on lettuce. And we saw an increase in germination rates by about 9 to 10%. But when under stressful events, our germination rates were 65% better.
Wow. So this
is
something.
Dramatic.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is something that, you know, anybody's got a greenhouse or looking into getting a greenhouse like me and setting one up. And I am in the process right now. We're doing site selection. I've got a guy coming over to distribute everything to get it all nice and level because we have somewhat of a slope in the backyard where we get a lot of sun. So that's one of the reasons why I'm asking all these questions. There are the other people out there, too, that are looking for solutions to help them to, you know, offset this high food prices that are, you know, plaguing us right now as part of our economic downturn. 844-769-2944. We have a few minutes left. If you have a question for John Willard, the third of Willard Water. Now, you have the topical aloe gel also in a 16-ounce. This is not something you basically dilute. This is just something you put on, right?
Yeah, it's a skin gel, and it was created as a way for my grandfather. It was created, boy, 30 years ago, as a way for my grandfather to sort of illustrate to people how the Willard Water works in a sort of practical manner. And the aloe, you know, most people when you use aloe gel, for example, you go out to the beach and you get a sunburn or something, you'll put some aloe gel on. And that, the thing people always hate about aloe gel, it's very sticky and it just kind of stays on your skin, you know, and you feel like you've got this encasing on your skin. The Willard Water, when it's added to the aloe gel, what it does is same concept. It boosts the movement of the aloe gel into the skin cells because it's increasing the absorption of it. And so it makes the aloe gel more effective. But you also can feel it in real time. I mean, it's pretty cool when you use the Willard Water Aloe Gel. You can see the tackiness goes away almost immediately. It's pretty cool.
Now, that's amazing. And you can use this on bug bites and sunburns in the summertime. And I've also got a show note here that says Power Hour J has been using it in her hair for years. Did you know that?
I did not know that, no.
What on earth would she be doing putting the topical aloe gel in her hair? Is this something that like a leave-in conditioner or something? I'm just curious because I know there's a lot of with this COVID stuff going on right now, and my wife is not the only one that we have talked to that has been complaining about hair loss, but it's part of this bioweapon that we got from China. And apparently people have been losing their hair, some of it coming out in clumps. They don't have cancer. And I'm just looking at this aloe gel going, you know, with the show note that I'm reading about using it in her hair for years, you know, what on earth does she know? We don't know.
Yeah, I have no idea, honestly, why you would do that. I can tell you that if you get a sunburn, of course, the FDA says it won't heal the sunburn. Aloe gel doesn't heal sunburns, in case your people are wondering that, according to the FDA. But it can alleviate some of the effects of a sunburn.
Okay.
So no aloe gel you've ever used has ever healed your sunburn, according to the FDA. The Willard Waters gel is in the same category. It's although I think it's, obviously I'm biased, but it's a heck of a gel. It's a really superior gel because it pairs the Willard Water with the gel. And I'll tell you, man, you get yourself in a situation where you spend a little bit too much time. If you're out fishing or out sitting on a lake or whatever, and you get a really bad sunburn, you slap some of this stuff on there, it will alleviate some of the effects to a really stunning degree. But of course it won't heal it. It'll just go away the fact that the sunburn will go away will just be incredibly coincidental.
And, of course, now the thing that the residual effects of a sunburn is the peeling skin. This would have to definitely help that out.
Absolutely. But, once again, it doesn't prevent it, because the fact that it doesn't happen, once again, according to the FDA, is purely coincidental when you use an aloe gel.
Of course. You know, you have to disclaim, I get that, and I think all our listeners here at the Power Hour, John, we have some very smart listeners out here that get it, and they understand when they go to the Power Mall. Right now, we have a 10% discount on all Willard water products. So, you know, what are you waiting for? If you're getting ready, I'm going to actually commit to using, if I was going to use, to basically get start seeds and put them in a spray bottle, which would you recommend, the clear or the dark?
I would recommend the dark, actually. Dilute it down into a gallon, put that dilution in a spray bottle, and just spray the seeds right before you plant them. And then as soon as they germinate, and they pop up, spray them again.
I've heard people say that you should soak seeds before you plant them. What's your thought on that?
We've not seen a huge difference. I mean, you definitely do. In some of the studies that were done, and we have a greenhouse study that was done, 7 years ago, and it was published in the American Journal of Plant Nutrition and Fertilization Technology. But we didn't see a huge difference between soaking and spraying. We did test both. Some of them, like, for example, if you're planting peanuts, you would want to spray them, because one of the reasons people always say be careful about what you soak is because it can stimulate the seed to start growing immediately. And if you do that with, like, peanuts, for example, it'll actually kill the seed before it goes into the ground. So you'll see lower germination rates than you would see. So a lot of times they do recommend spraying it rather than soaking it.
Well, spraying it is then. All right. So that's one of the reasons why I ask these questions, because there's a lot of people out there that are dyed-in-the-wool Marjorie Wildcraft supporters, and they like to garden. And so here's another supplement that you didn't know about. John Willard, thanks so much for being with us on the Power Hour. Willard Water, on sale right now at the Power Mall. Get yours now.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiatics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
The Power Hour has been in existence since the turn of the 21st century. It is more critical than ever for you to sign up for our free newsletter and our breaking news. Simply text the word Power Hour to 22828 on your mobile phone, or sign up when you visit thepowerhour.com. Our website again is thepowerhour.com, or text Power Hour to 22828. Together, our legacy will live on for centuries.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall.
When talking of great immune support, a line of products comes to my mind. That's North American Herb and Spice. We carry the Rest Vital Calf, Sinew Orega, Oreganol Juice, Pure Lisi, Chagamax, Collagen Power Plus, Orega Rest, Super Strength Oregano Oil, Black Seed, and many more. Support small businesses when you buy from the good guys. Go to thepowermall.com or call 877-817-9829.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the Optivita Silver Lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Minutes after the hour of 12 noon Central Time, Wednesday, May 25th, 2022. And we're back. Dave Krieger with you on the Power Hour. Thank you all for joining us. This particular segment, the last segment of our show, should be rather interesting. We have a highly experienced congressional reporter for the Epoch Times on the phone with us. He's got fingers in a lot of pies out there. We're going to be talking about some of them. You remember earlier in the show, I talked about the taxpayers shelling out $3 million a day for border wall that isn't being built. $3 million a day is what it's costing American taxpayers. I've got the gentleman that put that article together, Mark Tapscott, on the phone. Welcome to the show, sir.
Well, it's great to be here. How are you?
Well, I'm doing fabulous, considering, and, you know, we're all just trying to navigate through this sea of nonsense and misinformation and disinformation, of course. Nina Jankowicz is no longer with us, and so we don't have to worry about that, but our government still, none of our listeners, I believe, Mark, feel like our government has been honest with us, and now you put out this article. You want to go into detail on some of that?
Sure. Basically, what Senator Joni Ernst said, and she's a Republican from Iowa, also a military veteran, by the way, is that her staff investigators found that the federal government is paying contractors up to $3 million a day to sit and watch and make sure that none of the $350 million worth of concrete and steel and related materials that were already bought and paid for during the Trump administration for the construction of the wall on the southern border, that nobody sneaks in and steals it and takes it away. And her suggestion is, well, look, if instead of spending $3 million a day to sit and watch it sit, why not allow the states on the border, Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, and California, to take that material and finish the wall? Go ahead and build it. Texas has already made the effort and has started that, and there is great interest in Arizona in doing so. And if the legislation that she has introduced goes somewhere, and I have a feeling it might, then I'm pretty confident that the states of New Mexico and California will not want to be left behind. They will also get in on it, and maybe we'll see the states finish what Donald Trump started, and that would be a good thing, and Lord knows right now we need it.
Well, that seemingly, and you know, my listeners kind of feel the same way. I speak for them when we're talking, and if you listeners out there want to talk to an Epoch Times reporter, we get a lot of our news from Epoch Times, folks. They try to stay away from the mainstream stuff and the disinformation and try to get to the truth of things, which is important. And so, you know, speaking for these folks, 844-769-2944, if you have a question for Mark Tapscott. And he is a congressional reporter. And so he's got his fingers in the pie, so to speak. There's a crazy scramble in Congress to get stuff done. Why is that?
Well, and not a whole lot is being accomplished in the process.
Of course not.
There is, basically, we are not too far away from having a Congress that can't do anything. The reason is because, number one, the Democrats in their majority in the House is only about five votes. It's only five votes. And in the Senate, of course, it's 50-50 with only the vice president who presides over the Senate being the tiebreaker. So with the intense partisanship that we have now, we have more straight party line votes than ever before in our history. It's just all but impossible to get anything done. And essentially, if the Democrats lose three votes, four votes in the House, or one or two of the Republicans go the other way, or one or two of the Democrats go the other way, you can't get anything through Congress. And that's a big problem.
It is, and I've noticed, you know, when you're talking about people like Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema, they have seemingly looked at the situation and said, you know, this is not realistic, folks. We can't endorse that. You've seen a lot of that kind of blowback, haven't you?
Oh, absolutely. I have to confess, when Sinema was first elected to the Senate, based on her record in the House, I expected her to be a pretty reliable vote for whatever Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer and the liberal Democrats wanted to do. She has proven to be a very independent thinker and in a very good sense of that word. Joe Manchin, I'm not quite as surprised because he recognizes what has happened to his state in the past decade. West Virginia has gone from being a reliably Democratic state to one of the most red states in the country, and he's the only statewide elected Democrat now in the whole state. So he has to be responsive to his constituent, and that makes him very much independent from the liberal Democrats who run the otherwise run the Senate. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, he has to answer to those people when he goes back to the district for the town hall meetings that I know he goes to. He's always taking input. But I've noticed of late, too, that protesters have been hanging outside of his place as well. It's, of course, all the progressives. And that is something that, you know, we're having to deal with on a regular basis, this thing with January 6th, this committee's not leaving it alone. What's your take on what's going on with that committee? Is this just all fluff? Is this just for show to try to influence people to go after Trump? Is that what this is all about?
I don't think it's just show. I think it's a very serious effort on the part of the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, and the other Democratic powers to tar the Republicans, especially the conservative Republicans, with the image of being insurrectionist. And that's about as realistic as... That's about as unrealistic a portrayal as you could possibly come up with, but they keep pushing it. And we are going to be seeing in the coming weeks as the committee, the January 6th committee, rolls out their case. I'm expecting a tremendous number of half-truths that, you know, just are not reasonable. But they will be part of this Democratic narrative that Republicans are can't be trusted because they're trying to take the government down, as seen on January 6th. It's a political fairy tale, but if it's believed, it can be a very powerful one.
Well, the more you tell people this stuff, the more they come to believe it. I mean, this is Nazi playbook 101. So I just kind of, yeah, I got to kind of look at this scenario and say, look, as a congressional reporter, I mean, you're seeing both sides of this thing. You know, from communicating as a reporter with these people like Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lauren Boebert and people like that. I mean, you know exactly how these people think. You've gotten face to face with them. You know their true intentions. You know their mindset. And you kind of sit back and you look at yourself and say, why and how did I become so cynical and suspicious every time I go into the hallowed halls? I mean, have you ever faced that?
Let me give you a perfect illustration since we're talking about the January 6th committee. Every congressional committee has to have an authorizing legislation, and that legislation describes its purpose, describes its structure, and describes how it is to be created. In the case of the January 6th committee, the authorizing legislation said there will be 5 Democrats and there will be 5 Republicans. The Speaker of the House will appoint the Democrats. The House Minority Leader, Kevin McCarthy, will appoint the 5 Republicans. McCarthy announced his 5 choices. Pelosi did not like those choices and refused to accept them. And with the result that none of McCarthy's choices got on the committee, the only Republicans that are on the January 6th committee are Liz Cheney from Wyoming and Adam Kinzinger from Illinois. And they are reliably anti-Trump votes, which means the January 6th committee is not legitimate from the perspective of its authorizing legislation. It's not legitimate. It's not doing what it was created to do. And whatever conclusion it reaches, you can be sure the Republicans will point to the fact that, okay, that's what all these partisan Democrats say, but that's not what the January 6th committee was created to do.
Now, do you get confronted because you're asking questions, trying to get to the truth? Are you confronted by some of these people, these progressives, that challenge you in your thought process and asking the questions you ask?
Well, it's interesting that the response more often than not is no response. I can't tell you, I can count on one hand how many of the Democrat press secretaries that I have sought to get comments from their bosses through. Just a handful of them have ever actually responded. So you frequently see in my stories and other stories in the Epoch Times, Congressman Joe Blow, Democrat, did not respond to the Epoch Times request for comment. But you do get responses in other ways. The House Periodical Press Gallery, for example, which credentials reporters who are actually on the Hill covering Congress, all of a sudden about a year ago decided they were not going to renew the Epoch Times credentials. And there ensued a pretty serious debate, if you will, about whether or not the Epoch Times should have a credential. And among many other things, it was pointed out to the gallery's board of directors that, look, you know, if you're going to give a credential to China Daily, the official organ of the Chinese Communist Party, or Russia Today, the official organ of the Russian government, how on earth can you decide not to have a credential for the Epoch Times? That hasn't been resolved yet. I'm pretty confident that it's going to be resolved and in a positive way. But that's, of course, necessitated an awful lot of energy and resources going into a battle that we really shouldn't have had to fight.
So no doubt.
You get responses, but they're usually indirect.
Yeah, and see, sometimes the best answer is no answer, and that's one of the things as a journalist, and I've done some investigative research work before too, having written 8 books and manuals and taught attorneys quiet title and real estate stuff and CLE classes. The big thing, you're talking about shining a light in the dark places of government in the nation's capital. And you did this because you are the founder and editor of Hill Faith, Good News for Congressional Aides, a 52-week ministry foundation. You want to explain how you started that? What inspired you?
Well, to be honest, Dave, I started it because the Lord dragged me kicking and screaming away from an investigative reporting staff that I had created and was managing as the editor. At the Daily Caller News Foundation. He had been calling me for some time to establish a ministry that takes the gospel of Jesus Christ to specifically to congressional staff, not to the senators and representatives and so forth. There are already a number of Christian ministries that focus on the members, but to the staffers. And there are about 20,000 of them. They tend to be mostly young men and women. They come from great schools. They're highly educated. And for that reason, they tend to make up a rather hostile culture environment towards Christianity. It's a hostile mission field, but that's the one that the Lord called me to because I've covered Congress for 30 years. I worked on Congress as a Hill staffer myself when I first came to Washington, it is a daily challenge to put forth the gospel and try to be a positive influence on people for people.
Would you say that the reason God probably called you is because He already sees the fact that these liberals go to college, they get a liberal education, schooled in liberal thought, and then they end up being cynical against anything Christian, and this is one of the reasons why you're where you're at with this program.
Not just critical of it, but really actively hostile, Dave. I've noticed the difference in the last 10 years, let's say. 10 years ago, you would probably get a skeptical argument. Today, it's not unusual for people on the Hill to agree that, people who are talking about Christianity shouldn't have the right to freedom of speech.
Wow.
The culture is, the environment is actively hostile in many respects. And that's why Hill Faith is an apologetics ministry. We seek to present the evidence, historical, archaeological, logical, scientific, etc., for the gospel, especially for the literal resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you'd be surprised when a Senate or a House staffer who is not a believer begins to realize that, geez, you know, a lot of the stuff that they taught me in college is not true. It opens eyes.
It does. The website, by the way, if you want to research this, is hillfaith.org. That's easy enough to remember,
yeah.
Right? Hillfaith.org. And I'm just letting our listeners in on your world here, Mark, by going to the website. Now, you've been a news reporter doing investigative work since 85. You were in the Reagan administration from 81 to 85
yeah.
as press secretary and chief of staff for 2 House members and as a communications director for a senator between 77 and 80. So, I mean, your span of your congressional career in the world of media is quite diverse. But you've been, you know, predominantly focused on D.C. for the most part.
Oh, absolutely. I came to Washington in 1976 due to Ronald Reagan. You'll recall he almost won the Republican nomination in 1976. that's why I came to Washington, was to help Ronald Reagan be elected president and to save America. And, of course, he was elected in 1980. And I had five wonderful years. It was, I consider having the opportunity to work for President Reagan to be one of the greatest experiences of my life. But after 5.5 years of that, I decided to get an honest job and became a journalist.
Yeah, an honest job. Well, Reagan was so good, though.
Reagan, in my view, is one of the three or four greatest presidents this country's ever had. And boy, do I wish we had him back today.
Yeah, and he was all about supply side economics. And so you really didn't have, as a press secretary, a whole lot of conflict with him based on your beliefs right
now. Not at all.
Wow.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. I believed in Ronald Reagan, and we, those of us who came to Washington to work for President Reagan, we worked our tails off, and he accomplished a great deal.
Well, see, and the thing about Trump, now, there are market differences because, you know, Reagan was from the media. He worked at WHO in Des Moines. He was an actor. People knew him from the screen. Well, it was bedtime for Bonzo. You know, yeah. I always liked to, Nancy, where's my medication? I always like to do Ronnie. He's always fun. But the thing is he was a cut up, and it was always, you know, that side of him that made him more human than a lot of the people, especially in the current administration right now, just don't seem. You've been having, more of a challenge, I think, with this administration, and I call her Peppermint Patty. She's no longer there. She took a job at MSDNC now. So, this new, press secretary for Biden, you're not having any, contact with her, are you?
You know, I haven't had the opportunity yet. I did have some contact with, Jen Psaki, actually even before she, went to the White House as the press secretary. She was the press spokesman for John Kerry at the Department of State during the Obama administration. And we had some discussions on some stories, and I frankly was not surprised at all by the way she handled her duties in the White House as press secretary. You've got a tough job to try to defend Joe Biden. The tragedy is that she agreed with him on so much.
Wow. Yeah, that really makes your job, especially when you got people like Peter Ducey and then Biden calling him a stupid son of a bitch, you know, under his breath. I mean, this is, you know, to me, you know, I would think that the press and you as a journalist, me as a journalist, because I still carry a card. I still represent a radio station in Florida and I'm on their board of directors. The thing is when you carry card-carrying journalists, you really are the mouthpiece to try to get the truth out to the masses. And when these people twist it, does God, since you're in this Hill Faith ministry now, Mark, do you ever get revelation and things like that somebody's not telling you the truth?
Well, you know, it's not. You really don't have to have God to tell you that a politician is lying. I mean, you can tell by the fact that their lips are moving, you know. I have to tell you, Dave, you know, Scripture tells us that darkness hates the light. And I realized very early on in my journalism career that, you know, one of the things that makes America so unique is our Constitution actually establishes the profession of journalism through the First Amendment and makes it a key part of our structure of governance. It's not part of the government, but it's there to hold government accountable. And we do still have, to some extent, an independent news media. The Epoch Times is a good illustration of that. But one of the biggest problems that we have in this country is the way in the last 20 years or so, the so-called big media, the Washington Post, the New York Times, CBS, and so forth, have left behind the idea of journalism as an objective, factual presentation of events, and have become, in effect, in my view, defenders, propagandists, if you will, for the Democratic Party. And that's not a good thing for this country, because so many people still depend on the major media, and they're not getting the whole story. And I have every confidence that when most Americans hear both sides of the story, they're going to make a good decision. I may not agree with it, but at least if they've had all of the facts on which to base their decision, the odds are that it's going to be a good one.
Okay, so let's, from a congressional reporter's point of view, basically have made statements on the radio, Mark, that I could count maybe 50 people that are serving in Congress now, both House and Senate, 50 people total out of 535 that are actually doing the right thing, that have their feelings and Christian beliefs in the right place. Would that be a fair statement?
Well, I hesitate to put a number on it. I would be surprised if it was much higher than that. There are actually a number of members of Congress who are active Christians. They don't talk about it a whole lot for whatever reason, but there is a tremendous influence, if you will, from Christians in Washington, D.C., and especially on Congress. I mentioned that there's other ministries that focus on the members.
Right.
But the pushback and the strength and power of the other side is just overwhelming.
Well, we hope that November brings a little bit better modus operandi to Congress. Mark Tapscott, thank you so much for joining us. We'll have to revisit you again in the future. We thank you so much for appearing on the Power Hour. Dave Krieger with you. We are out of time today. Once again, God bless those people in Uvalde, Texas, that have had to go through all of this. Whatever your belief system is, know that God loves you and is here to bless you, and God bless the United States of America.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.